Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
A radio.com sports station. Two Wisconsin guys talking Wisconsin sports in the morning. Broadcasting live on the radio.com app. 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's time for Chuck and Winkler in the Morning, live from the Bryant and Stratton Bobcat Studios.
Oh, by the way, one week from today, I'm Bart Winkler, that's Chuck Freeman. It's our 13th annual golf outing to benefit Give Kids the World. Perkins will be there, Saz's, Roberts. I think there's still a few spots left. I mean, there's a lot of people that are going to be out there with us at Western Lakes a week from today. So you can still sign up for our golf outing, 1057fmthefan.com. I got to warn you, though, if you get with me, I have not golfed all year. So good luck.
Yeah, I saw the promos that you did. Yeah.
Those are my first swings of the year.
Yeah.
And only.
Yeah, you're going to take some swings off the range at all?
Nope.
So you go out there cold, huh?
Just going to golf.
Okay.
I took the year off of golfing.
Yeah, well, you're going to be sore on Thursday morning from all those swings.
I'm still sore from the video 4 weeks ago.
No, it's I'm looking forward to it. And people come out and see our show. We're going to be broadcasting at 6 a.m. starting at Western Lakes.
Yeah, come out there at 6 a.m. to watch our show.
No, you know what I'm saying. Come out there a little early. People come out there at 8 a.m. and
no,
come
I'd like a studio audience.
People come out there and stop by.
Yeah, yeah. Come people out come at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Well, if you want,
come maybe out get 18 in before the actual outing.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man. Is it open?
I'm not sure.
I suppose you could get 18 in before 10 a.m.
I think so.
I don't know if they close the whole course down or if they allow people out there.
But, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be a week from today. More info at 105.7 FM, The Fan. We'll wonder what the NL Central standings look like a week from today or even this weekend or even after today. I think when you look at where the Brewers are, and again, they get the win last night, 3-1 over the Padres. The Cubs lost to the Reds at home. And then the Reds, the Reds play the Brewers a little later on here. But then the Cardinals lost to the Nationals. So what you have right now, just to catch everybody back up, is the Cardinals atop the NL Central, and then the Cubs and Brewers are two games back of the Cardinals. The Cubs and Brewers, two games back of the Cardinals. Then you also have the Nationals, who, yes, are playing the Cardinals. They lead the wild card, but then the Cubs and Brewers are a game and a half back, tied for the second wild card of Washington. You've got the Nationals and Cardinals playing again today. That game is at 12:15. You can follow along at work if you are choosing to do so. We'll have the updates for you throughout the show on the Bill Michaels Show and then the Wendy's Big Show, of course, too. I mean, who are we rooting for in that one? We have to root for the Nationals, right? Because the division,
yeah, well,
over
the
wild card?
Yeah, the Brewers are a game and a half behind the top wild card spot,
yes,
which is Washington.
Yes.
Second wild card spot the Brewers own right now.
Well, they're tied with the Cubs.
But they'd get that. They would get that based on the tiebreaker with the Cubs. At the season end right now, the Brewers are in.
No, they play. They would play. They would play, and that game would be at Miller Park.
Oh, you're right. They'd play the tie. Yes, yes. The game would play at Miller Park for the right to play at Washington. You're right about that.
Yes.
So, but I'm still thinking.
Yes.
I want to play that wild card game at Miller Park with Washington or the Cubs. I want to get that. If you can't catch, I still think the division's going to be really, really tough. Okay, even though the Cubs and Cardinals play out together all these times, I just think catching the Cardinals is going to be difficult unless you just continue on this tear. Because ultimately, I mean, I can't see the Brewers continuing to play 900 baseball in the next week and a half. They've done it at such a torrid pace to keep up, especially this time of the year. To keep that up, that's a big ask. Now, to get the 90 wins, the magical 90 wins, they need to go 8-3 the rest of the season. I mean, that's even a tough clip to go at.
God, if this turns out to be a 90-win team.
8-3 over the final 11 games, Bart. That's all they got to do.
I mean, I talk so much about, and you guys can chime in, 414-799-1250. We had a listener give us a poll earlier. We're going to throw that off you in just a second. You can tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan. I talk so much about that 1992 team that was really the first Brewer team that I truly loved. They didn't make the playoffs, but they won 92 games, and that was Listash's rookie year and Robin Young and Paul Molitor, and I love that team. And they won 92 games. You're telling me this year's team can also win 92 games?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I look at that team as way better than this team.
Well, that 92 team, they could have gotten the postseason if there was wild card back then, or three divisions. Remember, there's only two divisions.
Yeah.
They were in the American League East.
Yeah.
They were in chase mode with Toronto, I felt like, that entire season. And they just couldn't catch up to the Blue Jays. And the Blue Jays won the division. Brewers didn't play bad in September, but they were up against a stretch, too, where they had to keep winning games. And then when they lose a couple, it would just cripple them. Brewers are in the spot right now, too, where they almost have to keep playing 700, 800, 900 baseball to get into the postseason if these other teams are winning, too.
But I don't know if that's true because I don't know how the math shakes out with these other teams playing each other. The Brewers wrap it up like this. They've got the Padres tonight, 6:40, Hauser on the mound. 3:10 tomorrow to wrap up against the Padres. So a little bit later of an afternoon start. Then the Pirates for three, and those are the final three home games of the regular season. They've got Monday off, three at Cincinnati, then three at Colorado. So you would think, well, win those games. Those are all lesser competition than you at this point. Win those games, and then you should be able to get in. But even if they lose some of those that you don't want them to lose, the fact that the Cubs and Cardinals play seven times yet, I mean, the season's over in 2 weeks. They play seven times yet. I can barely wrap my head around it. I don't know if we've ever been in this kind of situation before in baseball where the two teams that a team is chasing play each other. So do you want those guys to beat each other up, or do you want one of those teams to pull away? Last hour, we had a guy tweet in or call in, Stefan, and he gave us this idea for a poll. And then we said, well, why don't you post it and we'll retweet it? So we did. He tweeted at 105.7 FM, The Fan, would you rather see the Cubs and Cardinals split their series, giving the Brewers a far better chance of winning the division but could miss out on the playoffs, or have one team sweep the other, basically assuring the Brewers of a wild card spot? So do you want the Cubs and Cardinals to beat up on each other, or do you want one of those teams to, like, win six of the seven games?
And boy, I would almost take the wild. If you could tell me right now, I'd at least take the wild card. That top wild card spot. If I had to go for one or the other, give me that top wild card spot at Miller Park and make that an impossible place for a visiting team to come into, win that game and get in. Although if you get the top spot, you get that division title, you're gonna get you still wouldn't get home field advantage. You wouldn't get home field advantage because you'd have the worst record. Right, of the three teams that win division titles?
70% of fans say they want to see the Cubs and Cardinals split.
Yeah, I could see that.
So we could go for the division.
Yeah. Might as well at this point.
414-799-1250.
But, you know, I remember 92. Boy, they were 2-3 games out, and that was so tough to chase because the Brewers are playing some good September baseball, but getting over that hump and catching the Blue Jays that year was so difficult.
You don't want to play in that wild card game. I'm with everybody that says you want the split. Look what the Cubs did last year is you win over 90 games, and then you find yourself in a 16-inning game where you can't just muster up a hit, you can't score a run, and even though you're the better team, because the Rockies clearly weren't very good last year. I mean, anything could happen in baseball. You want to take your chances in a best-of-five, best-of-seven series. That wild card game is a death march.
So have the Cubs, then, I guess. So if Washington struggles,
yeah,
and the Cubs take out St. Louis,
yeah,
and the Brewers continue to at this pace, the Cubs would get that wild card spot, and the Brewers would win the division title.
If you're the Brewers, I know, you know, you hate the Cubs, you hate the fans from Chicago, but you want the Cubs, if you have to pick between the Cubs and the Cardinals to get in, and you are in the postseason, you want the Cubs in there because they're so beat up right now. They're without Anthony Rizzo most likely for the remainder of the season, Javi Baez for the remainder of the season. We don't really know what's going on with Craig Kimbrell. I believe he's coming back this week. You want to see them because when the Cardinals get hot, and all their arms are working. You don't want to see Andrew Miller, even 35-year-old Andrew Miller, in the postseason. And when Goldschmidt goes on these runs, like imagine Goldschmidt in the postseason when he's going on these runs where he's homering 9 times in 5 days. You don't want to see that.
No. I think it's inevitable. Eventually, whether it's this year or somewhere down the road, the Brewers and Cubs are going to meet in the postseason. Whether it's the divisional series, the championship series, they are going to meet somewhere. There's somewhere down the line, just destiny. The Brewers and Cubs are going to square off in a 5 or 7-game series.
You know, you look ahead to the Cubs schedule and the Cardinals schedule, and for the most part, it's against each other. The Nationals, let's not forget about them. They're off tomorrow. Then they have 3 in Miami, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But then they've got a makeup game against the Phillies. They've got a 5-game series against the Phillies at home and then 3 at home against the Indians. So that's going to be interesting, too. The way these other teams' schedules shake out, it almost gives the Brewers really the best odds or the best chance, at least the easiest path, to try to find a playoff spot from any one of these 4 teams that are going for it. Now the Mets are still, I guess, in it, and so are the Phillies. But essentially, well, if the Phillies beat up on the Nationals, I mean, they could play their way right back into it too.
Or how about this though? I mean, the Brewers have, you know, they're playing all these teams with losing records. Wouldn't you almost would rather play the Cubs or Cardinals here down the stretch in the final weeks of the season, like the Cubs get to do, and determine your own destiny instead of playing these bad teams? You know, I mean, you beat up on these bad teams. You hope you can beat up on these bad teams, but you got to help, you know, hope a few other scenarios. You don't really control your own destiny here.
The Phillies and the Mets are both 4 back of the Brewers and Cubs for that wild card spot. So, I mean, we'll see what they do in the next 4 or 5 days, and we'll know by Monday if they're in it or not, or if they're eliminated. But if the Phillies win a few games and then they've got that 5-game series with the Nationals, we could be looking back at the Phillies as a team that gets hot and gets in. So a lot still up in the air, definitely. And then if any of these teams tie, there could be some crazy tiebreaker scenarios. The craziest thing would be if the Nationals, Cubs, Brewers, and Cardinals all tied with the same record.
Yeah.
You'd have to play out for the division winner in the NL. You'd have to play out for the first wild card spot, and then you'd have to play out for the second wild card spot.
I think one thing's for certain. If Philly or the Mets don't get in to the postseason, both their managers are gone. Callaway's done with the Mets.
Well, I don't know. Callaway brought this team back from...
Yeah, but...
They were out of it.
Yeah,
the deadline
still,
made some trades, got back in.
They're 78 and 73. I think Callaway is done there. I mean, they've been calling for his head for a while. And in Philly, that 2-year experiment of... the former Brewer, name escapes me right now.
Gabe
Kapler, yes. Might be done, too, in Philadelphia because they spent all that money in the offseason in the last couple of years, and missing the playoffs is not what they had in mind for that.
Yeah, that's got to be wildly disappointing out in Philly. Yeah. One name that does not escape me, Chuck, it's the name of the razors I use when I shave my beautiful face, and that would be Harry's. Harry's Razors. This was founded by 2 guys who had the same problem that maybe you guys have had when you're just trying to shave. I mean, you're just trying to shave your face and look nice for the day, right? So you go to the store, you buy your razors, and you always forget on your main shopping trip. So you go, it's a special trip, you go, and you're like, I just want to shave my face. You find a pack of razors, you look what's the cheapest. Okay, that seems too cheap. So you buy a pack of blades, you go home, you shave your face, you got marks all over your face. It's terrible. You need a good blade at an affordable price, and that's where Harry's steps in. And if you go to harrys.com and use my code BART, then you'll get a big-time deal with big-time savings to really help you out when you go again to harrys.com and use the promo code BART. You will get the weighted handle with the travel cover, the shave gel, and a 5-blade razor, all for just $3 plus free shipping when you use the code BART at harrys.com. So it's a special offer just for you guys. You've had problems with razors in the past. So have the guys that founded Harry's. That's why they have this available for you. Harry's Razors. New customers get $5 off the trial set from Harry's with the code BART at harrys.com. You'll get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover. Offer just $3 plus free shipping when you use the code BART at harrys.com. Replacement cartridges are just $2 each. And if you want to shop in-store, you can. You can find Harry's at Target and Walmart. But again, for the code, for the deal, go to harrys.com and use the code BART. All right, so we're talking about schedules. We're trying to figure out how this team gets in. Let's say the Brewers do get in. Then what? Is that good enough for a lot of people? Are we happy with just the playoffs?
Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be, man.
You're a game away from the World Series.
Yep.
This town's celebrating like the Brewers haven't made the playoffs in 50 years.
Yeah. No. Getting to the postseason isn't good enough. Getting to the wild card game and losing to the Cubs, not good enough. Winning a wild card game and losing to the Dodgers, not good enough.
I don't think Milwaukee thinks that way at this point.
Well, we'll see.
I think getting in would just be good enough for you guys. 414-799-1250, and you can tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan. And as perfect as Council's been in September, the one thing they've got to fix if they're going to go anywhere, not just in the playoffs, but to get there, the one thing the Brewers have to fix if they're going to get into the postseason at all. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins here on The Fan.
And he sends that one high.
That's what I've been trying to tell everybody. You know, obviously it's hard. You hear everything and you see all the scoreboards and that. But, I mean, if we don't take care of business, there's nothing that else really matters. You know, we got to go out and win each game. And every game's important. So go out, keep winning, and, you know, see where we're at. And if we keep doing our job, we'll be in a good spot.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Bill Michaels up 10-2 today. And Ron Wolf, former Packers GM, will be in studio 12:35. Set your alarms for that. If you miss it live, you can catch the podcast, but get into a radio somehow. Get that radio.com app. Stream it live. It is free. 12:35, Ron Wolf in studio, Packers GM, former Packers GM. And I don't think that, you know, even if Gutekunst brings this team 9 Super Bowls, I don't know if a Packer GM will ever be more beloved than Ron Wolf.
No, I mean, He turned the Packers around during a dead time. He took over at the end of 91. He went into a Packer practice that was being coached by Lindy Infante, and then he reported back to Bob Harlan, said, oh, we got to make a coaching switch. Too much of a country club atmosphere around here. And he went out and hired Mike Holmgren, made the much scrutinized trade for Brett Favre because he gave him a first round draft pick. Everybody wanted
to
kill.
Who is this Brett Favre?
Yeah, people. That was front, I mean, lower front page of the journal at the time. It was the afternoon paper. And lower front page, it was like, the Packers did what? They trade a first round pick for a quarterback nobody's heard of out of Southern Miss? What is this Ron Wolf doing? And, you know, I'll probably explain it on the show today and a few other things as well. But that'll be a great listen. He's always a good interview. Always.
And he's well-respected, and, you know, he's got the pedigree for that respect. It's like how people treat David Stearns, except the fact that David Stearns has never won anything here.
No. Rod Wolf. Stearns is under Rod Wolf. Rod Wolf clearly.
Now, people love Stearns. People would die for Stearns.
No.
People like
now
you're Rod
trolling.
Wolf.
Now you're
people
trolling.
People would die for Stearns.
Now you're trolling. Come on, player. Now you're trolling.
I put a lot of tweets out last night at Winks Things. You can go and react to my meltdown there on Twitter.
What'd you do?
Well, I was just.
Why did you have a meltdown? They won.
I know. Here is the best tweet that gives an example of where my head is at with this team. I put, question, Bart, why does it seem like the Brewers possibly making the playoffs is upsetting you? Answer, because the excitement of possibly making the tournament is distracting us from the realization that Stearns and Attanasio didn't do enough for us to win it. So this is fun. It is fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're back in it. And again, there's nothing like Milwaukee during a playoff race and during the actual playoffs. I mean, there is a tangible thing. When the Brewers are in the playoffs, you can like stick your tongue out and feel something different. I know it's true. You definitely can. But I think where they were a year ago, a game from the World Series, I was so mad that night. And I was mad all offseason. I said, okay, well, just get back there. It's going to be very hard, but get back there. And it seems like the Brewers are going to get back to the playoffs. But it also seems like that's enough for people. And I'm thinking, all right, let's get to the playoffs. And then what? Get swept by the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Get your ass pounded to you by the Braves?
No. First of all, I don't think the playoffs are a given at all at this point. Playoffs are not, I mean, they'd get in if the season, I guess, would end today. They'd win that tiebreaker against the Cubs, but they are by no means a guarantee right now to get into the postseason. I mean, this thing could turn in an instant, especially with the bunch that they're running out there. This could turn quickly. So I'm not counting on a wild card, a division title, nothing. But I'm just happy that 2 weeks ago they were dead in the water, it seemed, that they've come alive with an amazing, amazing winning run here that they haven't shown all season long. I mean, they had that first week of the season when they won 8 of 10. And then they had a little run in early part of May. I think they won 4 or 5, 6 in a row. But pretty much June, July, and August, it was a 500 baseball team. And, you know, they showed no signs of doing this at all. No signs.
Are the playoffs enough for you? Because everyone says enjoy the ride. So are the playoffs enough for you? They were a game away from the World Series last year. If they get to the playoffs and then just skid out, is that enough for you? At 105.7 FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. Chad tweets in, this franchise has 5 playoff appearances in 50 years. They just clinched 3 consecutive winning seasons for the first time in 37 years and have not had consecutive playoff appearances in that same period. Yes, making it is enough.
No. I mean, just because the history of the Brewers, they're one of the worst professional sports franchises. And I took some heat a few years ago when I said this. They're one, and the track record shows it, and he explained it right there, one of the worst professional sports franchises from beginning to end, from 1970 to now. History, bad. Mediocre, lack of championships, lack of division titles, pathetic, embarrassing. Okay, that they have any fans at all at this point is incredible. Okay, which I just think is a testament to the people here in Milwaukee, that people are showing up to these games over the years and buying season tickets when the Brewers have never done a damn thing. And Brewers are my favorite team, and I'll be out there again tonight. So I just think, you know, they continue to win, and you've got to get to the World Series and you got to win a championship. This team was thought to have a shot at winning a championship this year when the season started. The fact that they're bailing out of a boat right now to get back into this thing, well, we expected them. I expected them to get back to the postseason and do some damage. So this is about what I expected of the team anyway. So just the fact that you had a mediocre summer and bailing yourself out now, well, I expected them to be in the postseason and win a few playoff series.
What is amazing you the most about this run? They've won 11 of 12 now. What's amazing you the most about this run?
Well, the fact that they are winning, number one, because, you know, like I said, they haven't shown any signs of it. And, you know, they're doing it without Christian Yelich. And they're doing it without, until last night, they got 2 innings from Woodruff, a lack of any star pitcher, okay? Their bullpen hasn't been very good. And their bullpen has turned it around with guys, with a bunch of no-name guys, okay? Underpriced guys. And this Corey Spangenbergs have stepped up, and I mean, there's been so many surprises on this team, Bart. Guys, different guys carrying them, and you know, there's a couple of stars who are putting the team on their backs, and that's Grandal and Moustakas. Moustakas has been unbelievable. So there's been a bunch of surprises, but I guess number one, I would say the fact that they continue to win without Yelich.
Yeah, they've been playing so well that you almost temporarily forget that Yelich got hurt.
Is that amazing?
Like, that is a monster story.
It is.
But they keep winning, and you almost just assume that he's out there and he's just not hitting well.
I mean, after
that he's got the day off. You forget that he is out for the year.
Okay, after they lose in St. Louis on Friday night, they lose 10-0. Okay, coming off a 4-game sweep against Miami, their 7-game winning streak ends Friday night in St. Louis. They lose 10-0. And then they get behind 2-0 Saturday night. I'm like, son of a gun. Bottom's dropping out.
Son of a gun.
Well, worse than that. I was 2-0. Nope.
Son of a Vondrook.
Yep. I mean, I felt that, didn't you?
Is that an actual curse word?
Isn't that a pro wrestler?
Who knows these days?
Yeah.
It's a mess.
Yeah.
NXT on USA Network tonight. It's debut, 7 p.m.
Can't wait. Can't wait. SmackDown coming to Fox. Yep. Oh, boy. That'll get me back in. That'll draw me back into wrestling. Hey, the Taker, you said, might be coming back.
Taker was just doing something the other week.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, he made his debut at Survivor Series. And
Kevin Owens sued Shane McMahon for $25 million last night.
Real or kayfabe?
Come on.
Well, you never know.
He was fired 2 weeks ago. Then he bought a ticket for last night's show.
Oh, this was on TV.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. One of those where you bought a front row ticket?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're fired next week. He shows up.
The front row.
And then he goes
went to the StubHub and got a ticket. Okay.
414-799-1250. What's amazed me the most, I think, is the pitching. The thing I complain about all the time is the pitching, because no matter who these guys put in there, I mean, last night, how about that for the Padres? Woodruff comes out there. He's almost hitting 100. I mean, he is throwing gas.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the third inning, Gio's throwing off-speed stuff at 75. Like, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck going from Woody to Gio. And you do have guys that came over that, you know, Drew Pomeranz. I thought, if you're going to get a Giants reliever, get any other guy but Drew Pomeranz. In the clubhouse, they call him Hader Jr., despite his 5 ERA. Jay Jackson is a guy that some of the fan base is trying to figure out. He's pitched so well. If he should be a multi-year piece with how these guys are pitching.
You remember, he's a guy who they DFA'd earlier this season.
Yeah. There's guys on the Brewers now that even the Brewers didn't want.
He's a guy who the Brewers just said, hey, if anybody wants this guy, take him.
Hernan Perez, they got rid of. David Stearns basically cried because he had to let him go.
San Antonio.
He's back last night.
Yeah, San Antonio. Travis Shaw, pinch hitter off the bench. He's so bad, he wouldn't be on this roster if the roster wasn't expanded.
No.
But he had a pinch hit home run the other night.
If it was a 39-man roster, he wouldn't be on, but it's a 40, so he is.
So,
I mean, there are guys on this team that the Brewers themselves didn't even want. Now, the one area of concern is this season pinch hitting has been a problem for the Brewers, and they have pinch hit more than anybody in the league, barring the Giants. Before last night, 282 attempts pinch hitting, a 172 average. So sometimes, and as early as Council goes to the pinch hitter, fifth inning, fourth inning sometimes, even earlier, especially at that pitcher spot, they're not delivering for the most part. They're not producing. So that's another argument to maybe keep the pitcher in a little bit longer, but that clearly is not what the Brewers want to do. Tweet us at 1057FM, The Fan, 414-799-1250. Santo on the west side. What's up, Santo?
Hi, Santo.
Good morning, gentlemen. First, let me explain something about what's happening for the Brewers. They are developing not a championship culture yet, but a winning culture. And that's why we can pick up these mediocre players and throw them into our system, and suddenly they're producing. It's something that Council, probably mostly Council, maybe a little bit of Stearns, is developing. It's how the Cardinals have been good all these years. How many times do you look at a Cardinals roster and go, how did this team win 95 games? Because they have a winning culture. We're not championship culture yet. I'm not talking crazy. I'm saying there's a winning culture in Milwaukee, and that's why these players come here and all of a sudden they find their old selves, or they pitch over their heads, or they hit over their heads.
Hey, can I interrupt real quick?
Sure.
I have not heard that anywhere. That's a great point. No. I've not heard anyone bring that up in any way. That's a great point, Santo.
So there's a culture there now of winning. Not of championships yet. That's the next step. As far and Bart, I respect your opinion. It should be World Series or bust every year, why you have a competitive team, why you have a Christian Yelich on your team, why you have this type of roster. However, for me, I personally take every year individually and look at everything that has gone wrong. Now, we could be upset at Stearns for not picking up pitchers. The one thing that kind of sticks in my head is not re-signing Miley. But you have to remember, all these things happen for a reason. If we would have traded for a pitcher, maybe Grisham wouldn't be on our roster. We'd have a hole right now, because right now he's an important piece. So all these things happen for a reason. And when you think about Jesus being useless, Shaw being useless, JJ being useless out of the bullpen, Knebel's injury, the list goes on, and yet this team is right there in it. For me, it's a great story, and it's a good season. Obviously, making the playoffs would be an above-average season. If they can make a run, it would be a great season. But when all these things go wrong and we're still there, I appreciate every moment of September baseball, and I soak it in, because we are a poverty franchise overall. So I can't take September meaningful baseball for granted, and no Brewer fan should. So let's just enjoy the ride. I know you hate that part, but when you're this beat up, sometimes the ride is all you got. You guys have a great day.
Yeah, I just can't. Bart, you and I are on the same page with this. I just can't settle for enjoying the ride. I'm going to join the ride. I just will be disappointed if the ride doesn't last into the postseason and beyond.
Well, there's going to be a lot of unknowns. I think that think of every pitcher I've wanted over the course of the last 3 years. Sonny Gray, Yu Darvish, Dallas Keuchel, Jose Quintana. I mean, name any pitcher that it was either traded or signed in the last 3 years. I've wanted them to be on the Brewers. And think, you know, I don't know how far this team's going to get. We know how far they got last year. I don't know how far this team's going to get this year. But what if Dallas Keuchel was the one missing piece?
Well, they wanted Dallas Keuchel. Keuchel looked directly into the TV, right into the camera, when he was interviewed down in Atlanta and said, you know what? The Brewers made a great offer. I just wanted to go to Atlanta.
Right. Well, then make a greater offer.
Well, no. I mean, he wanted to. It might even been a better offer. The Brewers gave a great offer. He said that was probably the second place, but he wanted to go to Atlanta. He said he wanted to go to Atlanta. He felt that was the place for him.
So if they were willing to spend money on Keuchel, why didn't they go get a different pitcher?
Who?
Kimbrel.
Good.
Or at the deadline.
Kimbrel thing.
At the deadline.
God.
Stroman.
God.
At the deadline. No, not thank God on Kimbrel.
Yes, come on.
No.
Come on. The guy's
Kimbrel's
got an elbow.
Good.
He's got an elbow.
I've got two of them.
He's got a sore elbow.
Oh, sore elbow.
That's a big thing if you're a pitcher.
No, I hate when people do injuries like, Darren Sproles is out. He's got a foot.
Oh, he's got an ankle injury.
He's got a foot injury.
Yeah,
I've got a foot. I've got two of them.
All right, well, you know what I mean. He's got an elbow injury.
DeSean Jackson's out with a stomach.
Okay, he's got he's got a head. He's got an elbow injury. So, you know, I think we all agree that so far the Kimbrel thing's not working out for the Cubs like they hoped it was going to work out. All right? The Keuchel thing, they were in on Keuchel. But this is, we can complain about that all we want and go back and forth all day. It's not going to do any good. You know, these are the guys they have. They went out and got Lyles. Yeah, looked like a bargain basement move in his. It's worked out. Pomerantz is really throwing gas out of the bullpen. That's looking, I mean, is it worth one of their top prospects? No. But still, it's a deal they made, and it's looking really good right now out of the bullpen.
All right, so playoff fever is hitting. We want to get out. We want to celebrate with other people. Nice little spot in Waukesha to do that for him.
Q Club of Wisconsin's got, hey, you know what? This is a great sports weekend. You got college football. You got the NFL. You got baseball. They'll have all the games going on. Plenty of TVs to watch all the games.
It's so good. I think that on the schedule, you are slated to do the Chuck and Winkler show Saturday and Sunday morning from 6 to 10.
Oh, that's wonderful. So we're going to cancel the fishing show. And, you know, in God We Trust or whatever.
No,
the show is.
I'm off. You're coming in.
This weekend?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Well, that sounds good. Okay. I hope they pay me for it. Wisconsin, although if I'm doing the show for the Q Club Wisconsin, man, that'd be terrific, man. Plenty of TVs to watch all the games. I could sit there all day and do the show because they got food there. They got the indoor gaming room, the huge entertainment room, the pool tables, the tornado foosball, shuffleboard, electronic darts, ping pong, and a whole lot more. If you haven't experienced their indoor bocce ball league courts, man, get in. That was a ringing success last year. Doing it again with their beautiful court. The fall leagues are starting soon. The food at the Q Club, second to none. They got the award-winning fish fries both on Wednesday and Friday nights. Plus, if fish isn't your deal, they got other things on the menu. They got appetizers. They got sandwiches. They got the hamburgers. Really, really extensive food menu. They'll bring it out. It's like bringing out the Bible. It's so thick. But the fish on Fridays and Wednesdays, award-winning. Four different styles piled high with all the extras. Happy hours. That's going on 3 to 7, late night happy hour on Friday starting at 10 o'clock. Weekends, they'll have some live entertainment. The Facebook page has that updated. All at the Q Club of Wisconsin, Waukesha's Great North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. It's a half mile south of 94 off Highway T. Visit them online, qclubowi.com. My favorite place to go, watch sports, check out their huge entertainment room, and, of course, their great food is the Q Club of Wisconsin, Waukesha's Great North Side.
Did you know I was at the game last night?
You were?
Yeah, I didn't tell you. No, I didn't tell you.
I didn't see you.
But there's an audio recording of me in the stands.
Oh.
From the game last night. This is me at the Brewer game last night.
Truck, back it up.
Hey, I told ya. Bring out the tarp, cover the
failed. I can't watch this anymore. It's over. Turn the lights out. Let's get the bulldozers in here and turn this place into a parking lot.
This little audio of me at the game last night.
That was in section 212, right? Because right, there was some commotion. Yeah. There was some commotion going on down there. That was you involved in that?
Yeah, right there in the outfield.
Man, I thought there was something going on.
So busy sports weekend. Chuck has volunteered to do the morning shows from 6 to 10 on Saturday and Sunday. Tom, actually, from Cutting Edge Outdoors is called in.
Oh, okay,
hey,
Tom.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, good morning, guys. Chuck, what do you mean you don't want to come on the Cutting Edge Outdoors show?
Oh, Saturday morning is my one day to go fishing. How about that?
Yeah, right. Come on.
Hey, we're wondering when you're going to take us out fishing. We've been talking about this for like 7 or 8 years now.
Hey,
getting us out of Pewaukee Lake.
I want to take you guys out, but every time I'm going to call you, you're on vacation.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, don't call at all in the summer.
Don't call on Fridays.
Yeah, so, I don't ice fish. I'm not
fishing. Ice fishing isn't fishing. That sucks. No, being out there, that's no fun. That's not pulling a string up, that's not any fun.
Well, you can take you musky fishing, get you a whopper.
Well, that's all right, man. I'm all in for that.
Take me some walleye
fishing, some bass fishing. I mean, anything to do with a lure, I am all in. I'll get out the Mr. Twister and we'll roll.
Get out the Mr. Twister.
I love the Mr. Twister.
Yeah, I think you and Bart, you guys ought to switch off every now and then and take part-time Bodie's place once in a while.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll run the board for you.
All right. You're more than welcome anytime.
Yeah, I'm just giving up my spot like that.
No, hunting, I got no interest at all in hunting, but fishing, I love fishing, man.
But I got to tell you guys, on a serious note, I really enjoy the passion that you guys show for the Brewers, the Packers, whether you're for them, against them. I mean, you guys show a lot of passion, and I appreciate that.
No, you guys have the best show on the station.
Oh, I don't know.
Cutting Edge Outdoors is the best show on the station. Saturday mornings at 6.
No, I don't know about that.
The first time I ever listened to it, I was blown away how good it was.
Well,
were you coming home from a bar at 6 a.m.?
Yeah, I was just going to say, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Hey, no, I got a real fishing question because no one's ever been able to answer this for me. The first time I ever went fishing, I was 13 years old, and I caught what looked like a rock, and then it started blinking at me. Is there a fish that looks like a rock?
A rock bass?
Maybe a rock bass.
But it didn't look like it was a circle. Like it looked like a rock, the shape.
Oh, you know what you probably caught was a clam.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, because clam. If your lure goes by a clam, their shells are generally open because they're filtering.
You don't know
plankton and that. So your lure probably went by a clam and it grabbed it.
Oh, that scared the hell out of me.
You don't know what a clam is?
No, I don't fish much.
Yeah, but a clam.
I caught a rock that blinked at me. I've been off the water ever since. My God.
We'll have to change that part.
Let's hook up Cutting Edge Outdoors Saturday at 6. Right. Thanks, Tommy.
I really do want to fish.
Bye now.
I would love to, man. Go out. I mean, and not,
Tommy the true.
Not fishing for bluegill, but fishing for, sport fishing. Using some lures out there, casting for some bass.
Did you guys ever go fishing in high school for alcohol? That's what we called it, where you show up to the liquor store, you're like 16, 17 years old, and you just wait for the
An
first.
Adult.
That's called getting kicked off the basketball team in my high school.
Not if you don't get caught, baby.
Oh, in our school, man, somebody always knew. Yeah, if anybody did any drinking at our high school, good old Martin Luther High School, some word got out somewhere that somebody knew something. Yep.
How many people did you have in your graduating class? Like 45?
109.
Oh, that explains
109,
it. That explains it. That was like our girls' volleyball team, 109.
Yeah. Did you guys ever coach a youth soccer team?
No.
And then buy alcohol for the minors that you coached?
No, this isn't Ladybugs.
You didn't do that.
We'll talk football next. Cut up, Johnny Murrah. Why'd you go get Dave Gettleman? Pass me a football, Daniel Jones.
Go lead this team. Go lead this team to anything. Cause I want a professor who believes. Yeah. Daniel Jones and me stumbling to the Super Bowl. And we stare at our beautiful G-men. They're perfect for you.
Man, you better not screw this up for me. I want to be Tom Brady. Daniel Jones wishes he could look a little less like Woody when every team overlooks you. Oh, son, make sure we look better than Jerry's team.
Daniel Jones does look a little like Woody from Toy Story. I will say that. That's from Jason Gallagher.
Or
retweet that at 105.7 FM. The Fan is Daniel Jones will be starting for Eli Manning this weekend. Finally, I'm Bart Winkler. That's Chuck Freeman. Ryan Horvath for the Chuck and Winkler NFL Blitz. Horvy, what are the pressing issues in the league this week?
Well, that was a good segue. So Eli Manning has been benched by the Giants, possibly the end of an era. Rookie Daniel Jones gets the start week 3. Let's say this is it for Eli, right? His individual numbers, not great.
Right, here it comes. I know what you're going to ask.
But two Super Bowl rings, our own Aaron Rodgers, great statistical numbers. However, only one Super Bowl ring. Yeah, whose career would you have?
Aaron Rodgers. Aaron's fault. He's not. Yes. Not Aaron's fault.
No, ask the other question.
Over the two Super Bowl rings?
No, is he a Hall of Famer?
That's the one I thought you were going to ask.
No, actually, I was going to ask you guys, will Eli Manning suit up for another team? Or has he taken his final snap in the NFL?
Trade him to the Jets.
Just release him.
They should release him. If they're going to start Daniel Jones, should release Eli Manning. Why the Giants have been so reluctant. Sometimes, you know, I root for our teams, but sometimes there's things that other teams do that annoy the hell out of me, and I don't get it. Like when the Bills would go Nate Peterman instead of Tyrod Taylor. What are you doing?
No.
The Giants, they should have got rid of Eli 3 years ago, and I'm not even a Giants fan. I don't care about the Giants.
Yeah.
But it consumes me at night trying to figure out why they keep starting this guy who clearly sucks. So, and he has played his way, I think. The longer he's played, he's played his way out of the Hall of Fame.
Man, if you're worried about the Giants quarterback job, that's consuming you at night, man. You got a pretty charmed life, my friend. I want your life.
So wait, has he taken his final snap in the NFL or is he going to a new team?
He'll show up somewhere. Maybe he gets back in there in New York, too, if there's an injury.
Bart, same.
But the Giants
with the Giants, they'll probably start him in the second quarter.
The Giants are so bad,
though. That's what they did last
time. The Giants are so bad. This should have happened to start the season.
Yeah, last year they tried to bench him, and then they're like, oh, we're sorry because Eli was mad, and then they started him again.
Yeah.
What are they doing? Just move on from Eli. He got you two Super Bowls.
I think ownership there, they just love him, man.
He's a class act.
Well, then make him a vice president or something.
I agree. Yeah, I know.
He should not be a starting quarterback in the NFL anymore.
Thank God that's not our problem, though.
The other pressing issue, in a video chat yesterday with his Instagram followers, running back Melvin Gordon, former Badger, current Charger, but he's not really playing. He's holding out with a contract dispute in Los Angeles. You guys think that Melvin Gordon's played his final game as a Charger? It's sounding more and more like he's going to play this year. He wants to play football. I don't think it's going to be in Los Angeles,
though. Melvin Gordon just losing out of money every day he's not playing. I just think with in the NFL, when your career is so short as a running back, you got to go out there and still play, and play for your next contract. You know, he's got a contract, he's got to play.
Chargers lost to the Lions in Detroit, so they're 1-1 on the season. I think that they have to make a phone call. I don't know if you give him what he wants money-wise, but I don't know that he's worth a first-round pick, and I think you need him in that backfield. What do you think, Bart, as he played his final snap as a Charger?
No, I mean, Austin Eckler's done just a fine job in place of Melvin Gordon. You know, after their week one victory, it's like, well, maybe this team doesn't need Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you always try to add a talent when you can, but if you're the Chargers and this guy said, screw you, and you've got guys that can replace him, I don't know. Eventually, I guess I would, if I had bet on it, I would see Gordon coming back.
As a Charger?
LA.
I think Gordon's coming back. He's going to sit out for a while and then realize he needs to get paid.
But some running backs hold out and it works, like Zeke. I think Melvin Gordon misplayed this one.
Yeah, Zeke never missed a paycheck.
That's true.
What scares me a little bit is, so Le'Veon Bell set out an entire year to pick pretty much essentially where he would play this year. For some reason, he picks the Jets. They stink.
Yeah.
And the Jets stink, but he has looked pretty good. So I feel like, you know, everybody was like, well, there's going to be some rust there. If you're Melvin Gordon, maybe you're like, well, I'll wait, get my money, and play for whoever I want next year, because he really didn't skip a beat, even missing a whole year.
Le'Veon Bell lost out on a year of getting paid, though, too.
That's true. Drew Brees, he's going to miss at least 6 weeks. He's going to have surgery on his throwing hand. Big Ben out for the year. Do the Saints or the Steelers make the playoffs this year without their starting quarterbacks?
I thought maybe the Steelers were going to get in. No, not at all.
Not the Saints with Bridgewater?
Well, the Bridgewater,
The highest paid backup quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Teddy Bridgewater guy.
He's going to get his opportunity.
He does not look good.
No, but he's going to get his opportunity here.
Yeah, but he does not
this
look
might be,
good.
This is his last shot. Because if he does do well, then I think eventually they could trade him. They could trade him next offseason for maybe a draft pick. Or they could keep him if Breeze is done. So this is...
I won't count out the Saints yet. That week one win over the Texans, that could be what keeps them in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they were 0-2, you maybe count them out. Yeah. Steelers are done. I knew the Steelers were done since last year.
Steelers are bad.
No love for Mason Rudolph, huh?
Yeah, no.
Maybe.
No.
But they're done.
I feel like he may be a better option than Ben. Like, his teammates really did.
Maybe they're not done.
One thing
Ben sucks worse than Eli.
No, they're done.
Ben's terrible.
The Steelers are done.
It's very telling. Like, you watch the way that teammates celebrate with a backup quarterback or with a guy when they do get in the end zone. That team rallied around Mason Rudolph. I could see the Steelers getting in, to be honest, because I'm not sold on the Browns yet.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Browns, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, those were the big names taken in last year's NFL draft. But Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are the two best quarterbacks, at least record-wise, both 2-0. So you're a fantasy GM. You're starting a franchise. You're picking between Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen, Lamar Jackson, or Josh Allen. Josh Allen, who would you start your franchise with
for
out of those quarterbacks?
A real franchise?
Yeah, a real franchise.
Not a fantasy football team, but
no, not a fantasy one. Like, because remember, everybody was saying convert Lamar Jackson to receiver or running back. He's not a quarterback. His
Lamar
numbers.
Lamar Jackson is proving he can play quarterback, man.
Josh Allen too.
Yeah, I take Lamar Jackson
over
Baker. Loved them at Louisville, and I think he's the real deal.
I kind of trashed Josh Allen coming out. I thought he was terrible.
Yeah. You were really high on Sam Darnold too.
Yeah.
No.
You
Baker
predicted the Jets to go
Baker
to the playoffs.
Baker was QB1 for me out of that draft. Baker was QB1.
But is he still?
I don't know. He kind of looked bad Monday. I'll still take Baker. And then second, I might go Josh Allen.
Yeah. No, I'd take...
And then Lamar. Josh Allen are 2A, 2B.
Lamar than Baker at this point.
I'm not going to give up on Baker.
Yeah.
No, all I am not going to give up on Baker.
Let's get one more in here. Better odds this year. Let's say you get handed, I don't know, 15K. You're going to Vegas. Better odds. The Dolphins go 0-16 this season or the Patriots go 16-0?
Oh, I think the Patriots. No, I think the Dolphins going 0-16. I think the Dolphins going 0-16 is very possible.
Bart?
I will say the Dolphins going 0-16.
Yep.
And then you're going to see those losers. Is Mercury Morris still alive?
Mercury Morris, Larry Zonka, that crew.
Yeah, how they always pop champagne.
Bob Greasy. Yeah.
Those guys are such losers.
Yeah, that sucks.
Why are they losers? Because they're on to those glory days?
They pop the champagne.
Because they every time a team loses, they celebrate. So they're the last undefeated team.
Yeah. I broke out.
That's
George...
so stupid.
Yeah.
I should not know who Mercury Morris is. And I didn't. When I, when you find out about that Dolphins team, you hear about Zonka and the other guys.
Yeah.
I only know Mercury Morris because he forces himself on TV when there's an undefeated team.
I got a text a couple years back.
Nick Bonacani just
died. Broke my scoring record at St. Mary Nativity in hoops, and I broke George Mikan, so it was a big deal to me because George Mikan, I mean, 7-footer, like the first 7-footer on the planet.
What?
Oh, wait a second. This is another Horvy story.
No, this is a true story. St. Mary Nativity,
I'm telling you,
Joliet,
we
got to
start looking at this guy.
Listen to this. Listen to this real quick, though. So the athletic director texted me, and I'm like 25 at the time. He's like, hey, your scoring record it's been broken. And I'm like, by who? And he says this kid's name, and I was thinking, I was like, I don't care whatsoever.
Tell me that story again. You broke George Mike to the scoring record?
Yeah, which I don't believe that he really had the scoring record.
All-time scoring record?
I think he was just the most famous person to ever go to St. Mary Nativity, and he ended up playing in the NBA, so they just threw him out there.
Is this a high school record?
No, this is grade school.
Oh.
A Catholic grade school, like 25 people in the class. So George Mikan was like the only thing they had going for him. So they just threw his name in there.
We gotta start checking into some
I don't
this
believe
stuff.
They were charting those numbers.
I don't know, man. I gotta think some of this stuff.
I broke George Mikan's scoring record.
Because in Illinois, he can keep all this stuff safe from us because who's gonna check it out? This happened like in Milwaukee.
We could have Rob Pleasy, AD, on right
now.
If
it's such a stupid thing to say that it has to be a
George,
lie.
George,
my whole point was that Mikan, I didn't care.
What
like,
the
about
greatest
my scoring.
NBA
it's been
players
broken
of all
now four
time.
Times. I mean, the I'm like eighth on the list now at this point.
I broke George Mikan's scoring record.
Off the court,
oh,
too.
Oh, man.
I was like 13. She was 24. British model.
All right. We got to get to Jerry Augustine. I don't know. Chuck and Winkler on the Fan.
Opportunities for greatness aren't given. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.